I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, this is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We are contending with a little bit of weather out here in Florida. Had a bad storms come through last night, so we may be at a little bit of reduced power till Entergy gets us back up and running at full force, but we will go ahead and soldier on through this. I want to welcome you to the show here at WYAB 103.9. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda here. From 9 to 11 o'clock, power or no power, this is your safe space for independent thinking. I hope everybody is doing well today. I know last night, you know, with Halloween, I hope nobody was triggered. I did not participate in any Halloween stuff last night, and I got to tell you, I hit out. I wasn't prepared. I've got a lot of different things going on right now. Halloween kind of snuck up on me. Didn't get a morsel of candy. Didn't get anything. Ignored a knock. There was only one. I did. I turned my porch lights off. I don't typically do that. I love Halloween. I love the innocence of children just about in any activity, whether it's sports, seeing kids walking through the mall, holding hands with their kids. There's something nourishing about some level of innocence in our society still, particularly as we go. We have this mass mental breakdown with these so-called adults in this society. Kids are a refreshing change to me. So I apologize to the kids. There was only one knock. It was early in the night. I think people trying to beat the rain, and I just didn't answer the door. I have really felt bad about that ever since. I typically am a participant in Halloween activities. Always loved Halloween. Always one of my favorite holidays growing up. I was always the beer wolf. Does anybody remember the Coors beer wolf? This was a big thing. This had to have been back in the 80s, in the mid-80s. You know, you get into college, and I think I might have even done this in high school. I had a very hairy chest at a very young age. not abnormally young, not like at 7 years old. Oh, I didn't have a hairy chest when I was seven. But I did develop chest hair early. I remember being in public school, and I guess I was one of the few, probably the few kids. So it was by the time I was in high school. And it wasn't thick. I'm not talking about, you know, the hairy back. I realize as I have stumbled into this topic that I'm going to try to backtrack so that I do not engender any bad visions of what I actually appear like. But I did have a hairy chest. I remember being in public school in the 80s as I developed chest hair. And, you know, we'd go out and play soccer and play tennis and play football and stuff at the school, shirtless, you know, what kids do. Black women in particular seem to be very interested in that. I would actually be. Now, in today's climate, this could have been a serious problem. I probably would have had a lawsuit on my hands. But I would have particularly black girls come up and put their hand up my shirt to feel white boy chest hair. And I just thought it was funny. Occasionally, sometimes a little aggravating, but I thought it was funny. Well, I don't know how I got off on that topic. Oh, well, I always was the beer wolf for Halloween because I was one of the few people when I was younger to have this hairy chest. So I ended up being a wolf. And, of course, I tied it to something that allowed me to drink more beer than I should have. And that's what I did. Wow, that is a really weird Halloween story and segue into a story about chest hair that I did not anticipate. I take a lot of notes and do a lot of research for this show. Let me tell you, that was not on the list, yet it is all true. Those stories are not embellished in any way, shape, or form. There's a pretty good clip of news today. I probably get more show topics on this show because I do a long-form show from personal conversations I have from even reading public comments, whether they're on Facebook or on some message board or in response to a story, it triggers to me. Now, I can go through the headlines, and I'm going to talk a little bit today. It looks like, you know, the stuff we've got going on with the border, there's something with Robert Mueller, too, that doesn't seem to be as reported as you would think it would be. So we'll talk about these sexual harassment claims against Robert Mueller. But I may get into some other kind of long-form stuff today. Got into a conversation with somebody. I want to know if you think that the midterm elections that are coming up, what, we're 5 days away, something like that, it's next Tuesday. If the midterm elections are going to end up being a referendum on Donald Trump, it feels to me like they are. Now, that is from, the contacts that I have are mostly local here, some friends that live in other states. And then I read a lot of news stories, and I always go down to the comments to kind of take the temperature of people, kind of get an idea of what people think about things. Now, when I go to largely conservative sites, I get a lot of conservative stuff. When I go to largely liberal sites, I get liberal stuff. But there's a lot of sites that are more down the center, more objective, and I'm always curious to know what the people think. Is the midterm election, is it a referendum on Donald Trump? And if so, how has he performed? Now, I'm going to say it again. I've said it every day, probably for the past month. I cannot imagine a scenario where the Democrats just sweep into some level of overwhelming power. They are offering absolutely nothing. But the Republicans certainly have got their flaws, too. And can Trump, I would imagine, let's just say if we had a President Jeb Bush. Yeah. Makes me shudder a little bit to think about it. But I would imagine the performance, had the president been somebody else, and the performance of the Republican Congress over the past 2 years would really not generate much excitement on the Republican side. Now, by that same token, a more boring Republican president with the same record would not have engendered as much activity and hostility on the left. So it's a weird counterbalance, but I am going to ask, and I may get into it today, because here's what I started to do. I wanted to do a really objective assessment of where we are with the Trump administration right now. And that's difficult to do in this market, I'll tell you right now, because people don't want to hear a lot of true Trump supporters, because the talking point is Trump has fulfilled more promises and accomplished more in his first 2 years than any president in modern history. That's about a direct quote from Lou Dobbs that he says repeatedly, and it goes throughout conservative media. Donald Trump has done some things. He did some things in his first days where I thought, holy cow, this guy's on fire. And we'll talk about those. But I thought an objective look at the Trump record prior to the elections was, I don't know, something I'm interested in, because I got into a conversation with somebody about Donald Trump, somebody that was willing to talk back and forth with me for us to just have a conversation. They weren't in love with Donald. They're a Trump supporter, but they're not in love with Donald Trump. And we're going to talk a little bit about that love, too. And not just for Donald Trump, but I find this interesting. It's a weird thing. You know, usually the reason that parties change after a new president's elected and the party in power loses power, particularly when they hold the presidency, the reason for that is because people realize, oh, this didn't fix it either. We're chronically dissatisfied. And as a libertarian, I'll tell you the reason for that over and over and over again. It is because it never works to have 537 guys and gals in Washington, D.C. running our lives. We're never going to be happy. Let me just tell you, I don't care if you put 75 Republicans into the Senate and 415 Republicans into the House with a Republican president, you will still not be happy. I can guarantee you that. Because once again, they will be serving special interests. They'll be able to do things. You may get a few nuggets, and I would say, for conservatives, that would be better than if it was the flip side and the Democrats had that kind of total control, because we would see our government balloon to a size that is just hard to even fathom right now. But we would still be dissatisfied. You would still have taxation. You would still have debt. You would still have kids fighting and dying halfway around the world for wars that we should not be involved in. You would still have a lot of those things. We're chronically unsatisfied. And that's because we're allowed ourselves to let this system metastasize into this huge federal government that does not serve the people. I don't care what little letters in the parentheses behind the controlling party's name. It's just never going to work. But anyway, we may get into that today. I kind of have pulled back. This is something I want to do all the time. I want to have an objective conversation. I'll take calls on it. The thing is, it's I understand there's a big brick wall. People on the left say Trump can do no right, most people. And he can't do anything right. He just is what the names that they call him and label him with. It doesn't matter what he says, what he does, anything. That's just who he is. You cannot talk to those people. And on the Trump side, there are people who think Trump, if you are already campaigning for Trump 2020 and he's got two more years to do a bunch of stuff that we don't know what it's going to be or what the results are, that shows you're not really thinking. He should be on a short leash, like every politician, not just Donald Trump. Every politician that we elect should not assume that we're with them for all 4 years until they show us that they're going to do something. Now, you may think Donald Trump has done a lot of great things, and that is fine, but he's got two more years to go. If politicians were a little bit more nervous about the support from their bases, like the Democrats are getting nervous probably about the black vote right now because there seem to be some cracks showing in that, they might actually try to earn your vote. See, what you do when you say Trump 2020 in 2017, is you tell Donald Trump, hey, do whatever you want. We're here for you. And he feels no accountability whatsoever. You're taken for granted at that point. And we do this not just with Donald Trump. The liberals did it with Barack Obama, did it with George Bush before that. These presidents continue to get reelected. Congress critters go back for term after term after term because they take us for granted. They just know. The establishment in Mississippi knew that they could do a Cindy Hyde Smith who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2008 because they can count on Mississippi being a red state. They don't have to give you anything good. They can count on you. They could give you the worst Republican candidate in the world, and you'll take it. I'm not saying Cindy Hyde Smith's the worst in the world. I'm just saying they can give you whatever they want because they know you're going to vote for them. So there's no accountability. There's no nervousness. There's no desire to serve what the people actually want because it's a given. The same way the Democratic Party has treated the black community is the same way that the Republican Party treats its base. Oh, we know we got you. All we got to do is throw out the idea that if the other party gets control, it'll just be chaos, and we'll just put a placeholder in there that'll do whatever we want her to do. That's how we end up where we are. And I actually have my notes titled, Let's Talk About Love. Well, now I'm kind of getting into the topic. I was kind of pulling back from it, saying, well, maybe I won't do that today. Maybe I'll just look at the news and go through the news like everybody does and just comment on that stuff. But, you know, I think this stuff's important. It's interesting to me. And if I do have this audience of possibly independent thinking people, you could handle it. Doesn't mean you don't support Donald Trump, because I've got lots of good things to say about Donald Trump in my notes here. As I went through issue to issue from his campaign promises, I've got plenty of positives. But there are some negatives, too. If this election on next Tuesday is a referendum on Donald Trump, then it kind of matters. You know, has he really stoked his conservative base? Are conservatives fired up to vote for him because of what he's done? Or is it because of who he is? Or is it just because of who the enemies he has are? I mean, any of those are plausible. It's just kind of worth to me exploring. We'll get to it later on in the show. I'll be right back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. You mean, I've heard the story about Google employees walking out. It is laughable to see on some of the loudest voices on the left. I don't like to use the term liberals because I like liberals. I like liberals' hearts a lot of times. It's just that many liberals have turned into leftists, and there's a big difference there. A lot of the left, you know, some of the loudest voices in things like Me Too and the oppression of white males and the corporations and, you know, all of their usual targets of their lashing out and grouping people together and calling them names. And turns out Google paid off what appears to have been some kind of a serial sexual harasser at Google and gave him a big fat paycheck and let him walk with it. Now, hundreds of Google employees are walking out. Hollywood, the oppressive white male and the corporation and Donald Trump as Hitler is just infested with people, apparently, that have been caught up in the Me Too movement that have just been doing some pretty horrible things to actresses and young actors both. So the hypocrisy truly knows no bounds, and it is just funny. And everybody's guilty of this, you know. You need to clean up your own house before you start blaming other people. But this story on Robert Mueller is really very fascinating to me, and it's very murky stories I can see. Now, I'll be honest, I've been really busy the last couple of weeks, and so I've kind of intentionally not watched a ton of mainstream news. Now, I don't know if that is falling down on the job for what I do here or if it is kind of refreshing. It gives me a chance to really find more news that's not covered other places. I don't know. A little bit of a double-edged sword there, I guess. But this Robert Mueller stuff, it seems to be a very messy, convoluted story in that what happened was there are accusers, I believe with an S, against Robert Mueller. And what appears to have happened, if I've gotten this correct just through all the written accounts that I've seen, they threw up a couple of names that they could debunk, almost created their own accusers and then debunked those false accusers to make it look like there are no real accusers. I'm going to go ahead and play this clip here. I'm going to give it a few minutes to play. This is Jack Berkman. He's an attorney and a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., was involved some ways in the Seth Rich story. If you remember Seth Rich, the DNC staffer that was murdered, I would say probably by the DNC, or it was a very convenient murder because he was the leaker of the DNC emails. They were not hacked by the Russians. This kid, Seth Rich, leaked them to WikiLeaks because he saw his candidate, Bernie Sanders, getting screwed out of the nomination by Hillary Clinton. Berkman was involved in that. Don't know why I entirely trust this guy, but this was a kind of a press conference, a little video that they did. I think the audio on it is pretty good, and I'm going to let it play for a few minutes because there really may be something to this story. Now, is it politically motivated? You know, I'm always suspicious of anything. I don't care if it benefits the right or the left. Here's the problem we have as a society. It's like polling. If you see if conservatives or liberals see a poll that they like, they say they tout the poll numbers. But if they see a poll that they don't like, they say, oh, polls are always wrong. If they hear somebody accused of something, they either believe them or disbelieve them based on their party affiliation. See, there's no objectivity anymore. There's no parsing out the facts. We live in a post-truth world where everything has to be tinged through a partisan lens. Stormy Daniels is an opportunistic person. Whoever this person is that might accuse Robert Mueller will be a real hero to conservatives. You see, you can't really have these things both ways. So anyway, I'm going to let them talk about it because I found it kind of interesting. It explained and framed the thing to me that sounds like there may be something to these Mueller charges of sexual harassment.
Hi, everybody. Jacob Wohl coming to you live from Washington, D.C. to give you an update on the sexual assault allegations against Robert Mueller. The story begins when a client of my firm, Surefire Intelligence, who had hired us to handle an estate matter earlier this year, track down some assets that were misappropriated by her accountant, brought me a story that, frankly, I didn't believe. I'm the biggest skeptic in the world of the Me Too movement. My default position is not to believe the women. You've seen that over and over again. as one story after another has come out. And that, indeed, was my default position in this case. I don't care who's getting accused or who's accusing. My default position is I don't believe it until it's proven, until it's corroborated. I went through the story with the accuser, the gal who had hired our firm, and I asked her many, many questions. Where did it happen? When did it happen? Do you have any corroborating witnesses? And over again, I determined her credibility to be very high. Very high. It's important that I add as well, there was no quid pro quo here. She was not offered any money. There was no exchange of any kind that happened between myself, between Mr. Berkman here, and this accuser. The only person that claims any such thing, any kind of quid pro quo, any kind of payment, any kind of bribery or impropriety, which are all things that we condemn, is a woman who the media has brought forth and breathlessly reported on, who appears to not even exist, I might add. So we've got one woman who doesn't exist who says that she was offered payment, and the media is reporting on that, to distract from and discredit the real allegation. Who is this woman? Who created her? Probably Mueller, probably the mainstream media. I don't know. That will probably come out at some point as well. Ms. Cass gave us her story. She went point by point. She gave us time. She gave us dates. We carefully vetted that story. We wrote it into an affidavit, which she has signed. She also has a corroborating witness. Now, the next thing to add is that the accuser is not a person off the streets.
I'm gonna finish that clip. I got to take a quick break. Has this ever happened before? Have we ever had, because I think this is actually, if Mueller did this, set up, see, there's no danger to him on this, and there's actually no danger to a person. Okay, so here's the scenario, if what they're saying is true. Some accusations come out, and so in order to muddy the waters, what Mueller or Democrats or whoever's trying to protect him would do is say, is set up, create a new woman that comes up with a story that says she was approached to be an accuser and offered money. A woman that has nothing to do with the story, had no, never approached these guys who are Berkman about this, someone that they don't know about. They create a false accuser and then debunk her at the same time. It's pretty genius, and I don't know we've seen that before. There's so many of these things swirling around, it's very possible it's happened before. But it has definitely muddied the waters, but it seems like maybe there's really actually something to this. I'll finish this clip up when we come back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Finish this this clip from the people who say they've got signed affidavits from people that were sexually assaulted by Robert Mueller. Now, I want to just add my little two cents here on Mueller that I've added before, but to just call attention to, you know kind of how we're propagandized to. If you remember, Robert Mueller was a very popular Republican figure in the early 2000s. He was the FBI director hired pretty soon before 9/11 and was FBI director during the 9/11 investigation. And what have we found out since then? And again, I'll tell you that for all of the times that Sean Hannity and Lou Dobbs and Fox News and conservative media have derided Mueller for his investigation in this ridiculous witch hunt against Donald Trump, which they're correct about. They are right to call him out for this ridiculous investigation. It's wasting time and money for nothing. They're right to call him out now, but they praised him as a real stud, a real law and order, a real lock-jawed conservative Republican out there following 9/11. But what do we know now about Robert Mueller following the 9/11 investigation? Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI. It was discovered in 2002 that the funding for 9/11 came from the Saudi Arabian, from high up officials in the Saudi Arabian government, not some billionaire who had a beef with America that just funded, you know, spent a couple of million dollars to get some ragtag group of people out. No. The Saudi government was involved in 9/11, and Robert Mueller was integral in covering that up and keeping that from the American people. While we bombed Afghanistan, while we bombed Iraq, Libya, Syria, he knew the whole time that Saudi Arabia was the only country implicated in this. Now, he's not alone. George Bush knew. Donald Rumsfeld knew. Dick Cheney knew. Condoleezza Rice knew. Colin Powell knew. The Clintons knew. This is not a single party thing. These high-up people knew this, and they kept it. They classified, the Bush administration classified the evidence that showed that high-up people in the Saudi Arabian government had funded 9/11. They classified it and kept it secret from the American people for about 15 years. The Barack Obama's administration knew about this. John Kerry knew about this. But Robert Mueller was very integral in the cover-up of the Saudi involvement in 9/11. So while I'm happy to see him get his due, if he has attacked women, then it's time that comes out, and I hope he's disgraced and run out on a rail due to that. And they pursue him like they pursue anybody, if he's guilty. But I just want to point out the fact that his crimes, and the reason you should be against Mueller is not only for this witch hunt, but you should go back in your mind and think 3,000 innocent Americans died and they knew who was responsible for it, yet they let us spend $7 trillion in the Middle East attacking countries that did nothing to us while they sat on the fact that the Saudi Arabian government was behind 9/11. That is a crime. Here's the rest of this clip. I'll back it up just a tad bit here so we can kind of get back into it. This is the attorney. This is an attorney and journalist. His name is Jacob Wohl that's talking first, and he's going to pass the mic to Jack Berkman. He is an attorney and a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. that have got a signed affidavit from a woman, and I believe it is women plural, but I think they will refer to one woman here that is accusing Robert Mueller of sexual harassment.
She also has a corroborating witness. Now, the next thing to add is that the accuser is not a person off the streets. This is a person of unimpeachable character. This is a person with an illustrious background as a fashion designer, well-educated, well-networked, well-liked. This is not a person that somebody dragged up from some politically charged area. In fact, she's not politically charged at all. Never registered to vote, never voted, in fact. So this is not a political operation. This has very little to do with politics. Now, I understand the political sensitivity of this. It has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with getting the truth out about a person who is wielding a tremendous amount of power. And we've seen what he's done with it. Somebody comes out and says they were offered money. Turns out the person doesn't exist. But what does Robert Mueller do? He issues a referral to the FBI to investigate. To investigate what? Now, Jack here is a lawyer. I'm not. So I'd like Jack to reflect on that part specifically, because I think it's just unconscionable that Mueller is now trying to suppress allegations against him.
You say it very well. Not a lawyer, but you say it very well. Well, good evening. I would say a couple things. As I will do tomorrow at the press conference, I want to debunk this whole sad and tragic backstory, so we can get the focus back on our gal, our accuser, and the main story. Now, this backstory is absurd. There's two parts to it. A, there's this reference to a woman, Lorraine Parsons, whom we allegedly paid. We didn't pay her. The only problem is Lorraine Parsons doesn't exist. She's a phantom that somebody conjured. We don't know whom. That's A. B, there's a woman named Jennifer Taube who does exist, but she received some email referencing in a vague way payment from a person who doesn't exist. That email also had nothing to do with us. I think you can very quickly see, anybody with an IQ above 80 can very quickly see that there is no truth whatsoever to this backstory and these allegations. We can only surmise as to who did this. My strong suspicion is it was done to slow us down. Every reporter in the country, from the smallest blog all the way up to NBC News, knows very well that you don't run a story about Lorraine Parsons before you even talk to Lorraine Parsons. So I think it's a ridiculous, last few days have been ridiculous more than anything else. But I think tomorrow, when we present the allegations, we will regain the initiative. And that's the key.
The reaction of the press has been one of the most disturbing things that I've ever seen, where I have essentially been accused, or my firm has been accused, of offering payment in exchange for allegations, something which would be reprehensible, something which would be illegal, something which would be disgusting. And I've been accused of this by a person who presumably doesn't exist. We can't find her. I've got access to the best private investigative databases in the world. I've had former FBI agents look into this woman. She does not exist. But the media breathlessly reported her allegation. And look what has happened. I have had Oliver Darcy from CNN calling up my 11-year-old sister while she's sitting in her sixth grade classroom over and over again. I have had Rachel Maddow implicating my mother in this simply because my cell phone happens to be on a family plan.
You know, it has truly just gotten to the fact we do not have an independent media in this country as it's presented. What's fascinating to me and what's encouraging to me is that citizens and alternative media has sprung up. The problem is they're throttled down through social media. I could go back into that if we want to. The censorship of social media is not just about the political views that you have or your neighbor has or some conservative pundit. The censorship is actually of the real news out there. And there is this facade with all the great graphics and the beautiful camera work and the expensive studios and the high production value of ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN that presents itself as the news. But it is only a facade. It is a propaganda machine. It is so corrupt at this point that the only independent news we have, now One American News Network I've talked about before, they're a little bit of an upstart. You know what? Their production value is not as near as good as, say, Fox News. And I feel like they're a little bit on a conservative side of things, yet they're pretty, they'll go after topics that the neocon Republican establishment doesn't like. So they're an upstart. So there are bright spots emerging, but if anybody is still out there, if you are getting your news from MSNBC or you are getting your news from Fox News and you think you are informed, you are sadly.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, so check this out. This is fascinating to me. This story is getting kind of interesting to me. Now, I'll tell you, Jack Berkman, I don't know whether I can trust this guy. I don't know if these allegations are true or not. If you're just joining me, I just played a clip where the accusers of Robert Mueller have been debunked. The problem is that what the actual accusers' representatives are saying is that the debunking is a false debunking. They're debunking somebody that does not exist. That gets confusing. You'd have to go back and listen to this. You can get my podcast at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. Go to wyab.com. You can look halfway down the page and see previous Mike Madison shows. I do some deep dive stuff. You know, I don't do quick hit stuff. Anyway, listen to this. I just thought out of curiosity during the break there, I would do a Google search. As I say, before I left last segment, I said, we have no more free independent press that gets to the facts, that really digs. What we have is a propaganda machine. And I'm sorry to break the news to you that Fox is a part of that propaganda machine, but they are. They've got some bright spots. They cover some stuff that other places won't cover. They do give Trump a little bit of cover, and he does need it on some major network. But they are still not shooting you straight. If they were, I wouldn't be the only person in America right now talking about the true crime is that Robert Mueller covered up the Saudi involvement in 9/11 for 15 years. That's a big story. Robert Mueller shouldn't even have a career right now. Once those documents were declassified showing the Saudi Arabian government involvement in 9/11, anybody that was implicated in classifying those pages and having us bomb seven other countries other than Saudi Arabia, spend $7 trillion in kill, maim, or PTSD, tens of thousands of U.S. troops, should never have a career again. To be honest with you, they should probably be in jail on war crimes. That was that's the kind of news you would get if we had a free and independent press. But it goes past the press. Now I bring you to social media and to the tech. So this is the gulag we're being put into digitally. So we don't have a free and independent press. The beautiful thing is we have the internet, right? It's what woke me up. It's when I heard things that weren't consistent with my current beliefs that kind of just itched my brain a little bit. I would hear things and I would say, well, that can't be true. So I would go do my own research and I would say, oh, by golly, it is true. And it broke me free. That new knowledge of how the world really works woke me up to the fact that I had been lied to by the Republican Party, the Democrats were terrible, that the government had failed us and does not serve us, and I've been on a quest for the truth ever since then. And the internet is that beautiful tool to give us that truth. And now they're clamping down on that. So, okay, so we'll combine these two things. You've got a press that is lying to you, not giving you the straight scoop. They're distracting you with ridiculous stories. And then when you go to do your research on these things on the internet, where all this knowledge is available to us, the censors at the Silicon Valley companies are corralling us back into the mainstream media lies. Here is the page of results I got when I just did a Google search, and I'm only going to use that term now. Usually I say internet search, and I use DuckDuckGo now, but I just knew what I was going to get with Google. Here's the searches. Here's the top stories listed on Google about this. Again, remember, this was a fake hoax story. They created a hoaxer. The Mueller team or whoever's protecting Robert Mueller, in theory, if this is true, they created a hoaxer, exposed the hoaxer themselves, just made the story out of thin air. Now, this is what the media does with it. CNN, Gateway Pundit story alleging Robert Mueller sexually assaulted someone unravels. USA Today, Robert Mueller harassment hoax. This is The Atlantic. Special counsel refers scheme targeting Mueller to the FBI. Let me get down to some other ones here. This is the whole page of search results. I haven't gone to the second page. Here is The Independent in the UK. Robert Mueller, woman targeted by inept plot to bring down U.S. special prosecutor. The BBC, bungled plot emerges to smear Robert Mueller. CNBC, Mueller accuses opponents of offering women money to make false claims. NBC News, Mueller refers sex misconduct scheme targeting him to the FBI. Fortune, Robert Mueller may be falsely accused of sexual assault by paid. I don't see the rest of that one. New York Post, false claims of sexual assault against Robert Mueller. New York Post. I'm going on here. Axios, woman offered payouts to accuse Mueller of sexual harassment. CBS News, alleged scheme to pay someone to fabricate sexual assault allegations. At least, hey, look, there's the best bright spot right there. CBS used the words alleged scheme. Everybody else just says it's a scheme. This goes on and on. Politico. Mueller asked FBI to probe scheme seeking sexual assault dirt on him. Washington Times. Business Insider. It just goes on and on and on. So this is just it's an interesting time to be alive. It is harder to find the truth now than probably at any time in history, even though we have all of this information in front of us, because you have to go through, you have to work through several layers of outright lies, misrepresentations, and propaganda. And the average American, the problem is, and I love the people who support this show and listen in every day, and I appreciate the fact that there are some independent thinkers out there. Even if you don't agree with me, that's absolutely fine. But at least you're willing to take in some information that is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines. And this is exactly why I say it at the beginning of every single show. You're willing to go where the truth takes you. Most people stop at this level. They stop at the NBC, the MSNBC, the Fox News level. And I have exposed on this radio show for almost 2 years now the disingenuous nature of the parade of pundits and talking heads and experts they bring on that actually have ulterior motives to tell you what they tell you on the news. And then those few people who do say, I don't believe what the press says. They're a bunch of liars. I'm going to go do the research for myself. Then they go to the internet, and now they're being corralled right back into those sources, the internet searches. And I'm telling you, I have been doing research on Google for years, and within the last year, the results of the alternative media have gone from somewhere on page one to page eight or nine of search results. It is changing. We cannot allow this to happen. And I promise you, with everything I've got on this show, what I will try to do is get us to the truth. Sometimes it hurts people if you support somebody, but the truth is not convenient. I'll bring that. And sometimes it reinforces what we already believe. But the truth is the truth. But it's hard to believe that with so much information out there, it's harder to find the truth than ever before.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right. Thanks so much for joining me today. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here every day from 9 to 11 o'clock, we try to bring you news from a pretty from an objective view. Here's why I'm kind of uniquely situated to do that on conservative talk radio is not because I am some independent that's wishy-washy, vacillating between the pros of the Democrats and the pros of the Republicans. I mean, I don't know who's still doing that. I am somebody who's kind of extricated myself from the battle because I realize that neither side is serving the American people. So I have this kind of unique perch here in central Mississippi above other shows in the area, shows that I compete with that might be kind of beholden to the party establishment here in Mississippi and to the Republican Party. I'm able to kind of look at it from a bird's eye view and call balls and strikes fairly. Everything's through a partisan lens. And so what I thought we would do today, and the news kind of tipped me in this direction as I kind of wrestled with myself whether or not you do this, can Central Mississippi, can we stand an objective view of the Trump administration after 2 years? Because what I was asking the first hour is, are the midterm elections a referendum on Donald Trump per se? News reported that this was a referendum on the president more than usual. By double digits, more people are considering the Trump administration in their decision to get to the polls and vote for whoever they vote for. And that is not surprising. In this polarized society we live in, Trump engenders so much support on his side and so much anger on the other side that he has become the focal point of this more than any other president we've ever seen. So whether you're on the right or the left, a Republican or a Democrat or an independent look at Donald Trump might be worth some time and some consideration. And it's not done, because on the left-leaning media, you're going to hear that he can't do anything right. And on the right-leaning media, you're going to hear he can't do anything wrong. And isn't it common sense? Isn't it just reality that maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle there? There are things that Donald Trump has done that liberals should love. Donald Trump commuted the sentence of a nonviolent drug offender that was serving. She served what, like 30 years? Donald Trump went to when the football players were kneeling. He said, look, if you've got some cases of injustices, bring them to me. I want to hear about them. Let's see what we can do. He's entertaining criminal justice reform as an issue, not just Kanye. Kanye was talking to him about that, but he's receptive to these ideas. Now, people on the left and people and liberals, true liberals, if you're liberal in your heart and you understand the injustice of our current criminal justice system, you should applaud him for that and realize there's real value for that. And he's one of the only people speaking about it. And he's given things to the right, too. He's been a defender of the Second Amendment. He wasn't always, but he has been now. And we're going to kind of go through some of these things and really take a look at it and see, is it now, Trump is the most unfairly treated president we've ever had. Ronald Reagan might be the second one, just because Ronald Reagan was a bit of an upset to the establishment himself. While a Republican governor, and he might have headed the Republican Party at some point. I can't remember, but he was in the establishment, but he was a more limited government guy coming in. He was attacked to a degree, but nothing like we're seeing now. Trump is attacked unmercifully with ridiculous charges of things like racism and being Hitler and those kinds of things. If you're objective on the left, you know that they've gone overboard on that stuff. He's done nothing to show that he's Hitler. He's done nothing to show that he's a racist. Maybe some ill-worded comments that were certainly grist for the mill for the left-wing media. But, he's being treated unfairly. But he's also being viewed through a lens of love by people who refuse to see some of the ways he may not be fulfilling campaign promises. So there's enough of all of it to go around. I'm going to spend some time on it. Let's talk about love. There's probably, you could probably flip this. I haven't thought about it until just this second. You could probably flip this and say there's similar things to hate, just 180 degrees from this. But let's just think about love. You remember that feeling of just really falling in love with somebody? You meet somebody new, and they just speak your language. You feel a connection with them. They understand you like nobody else has before. And you get this feeling when they text or when they phone call, or you're setting up plans to see them, or you're going to go away with them for a weekend or whatever. It is a really a tremendous feeling. And most all of us have felt that at some point. Many of us repeatedly, we fall in real love several times within our lives. But that feeling that you get, it lasts about 6 months. It could be shorter, depending on the couple. Could be longer. I always admire people who can stay married for 50, 60, 70 years, still feel like they're just madly in love with each other. But generally, that first initial swell of just your stomach actually gets kind of butterfly. It's just a different feeling. I'll just put it that way. And I don't think I'm speaking just for myself, but it's affected me that way before. But then after about 6 months, some level of reality sets in. And you might still really love this person and realize this is somebody I'm meant to be with. I want to stay with them. This is why people end up getting married. But after about 6 months, you start to see a little bit of the things that you didn't see when you were blind to the love for the first 6 months. Small things that annoy you about the other person. And that's okay. We're all different people. Nobody's perfect. But you start to see some little flaws, just a few surprises. You know, maybe their view on something is different than you thought it would be, but that's okay. Doesn't mean you have to dump them or anything. But it begins to encroach a little bit of reality into the situation. You start to realize, okay, well, this is not, you know, this is not another me. There are some things there, but you can still love them and still want to be with them. But you just start to recognize it. Now, what's interesting to me is that when we fall in love with politicians, it seems to last a lot longer than that. It takes sometimes years or decades to start to see through that facade and start to say, wait a second, because they're constantly telling us. See, I have made this point before that we are in somewhat of an abusive relationship politically. While we can see these flaws, we have these politicians, these political parties telling us, look, no one's ever going to love you like I do. You're nothing without me. You need me. Now, they don't come out and say these things, but it's through the use of political speech and party platforms and things like that, where they just tell us, if you leave us, you know, it's all over. You'll be making the biggest mistake of your life. And we've seen people in these relationships, in interpersonal relationships, actual relationships, where you see somebody in an abusive relationship and you say, why don't you leave? And they say, he's really a good person. And that is almost exactly what we do with political figures. We say, this is not about Trump. Don't think I'm trying to point out Trump as an abusive person. I'm just saying the political system on both sides. There's been a lot of conversations with the Kanye West stuff about the black community, the Democratic Party. You know, the Democratic Party tells the black community and other slivers that they go to, whether it's the LGBT community or whether it's any minority community they go to, you and they say, that party essentially wants to kill you. You've got to stay with us. Now, we're not going to do a whole hell of a lot for you, but you better hang with us because we'll protect you from them. And that's what the political process is. It's an abusive relationship with people, because behind the scenes, you know, if you're in that abusive relationship with a spouse or with a loved one, they're doing things. You know, they're cheating on you. They're stealing money from you. They're physically abusing you. I guess that's to your face, but they're doing other things around there. And you have to ignore all of these things to stay in that relationship, because you just have hope that they'll change. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to just abandon every single political party, but let's at least admit what the relationship is and realize that the reality should set in for people. They've not served us. Now, with the midterm elections, a referendum on Trump, I thought it would be worth taking just a few minutes today, maybe several minutes today, kind of taking a look at the idea is twofold. He's Hitler, he's the devil, he's a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, he's just everything horrible in the world. And we know that's not true. Because the other side of it is that this is a guy that has fulfilled more campaign promises and accomplished more in the first 2 years of his presidency than anybody in modern history. And we're going to explore whether that's true too. Again, this is not about breaking up with Donald Trump, but this is about just an objective view on what he's done. Because I started kind of going through his campaign promises yesterday, and he's done some great things. I'm talking about the first day he did something I love that I'm going to talk about in a second. But if this is a referendum on him, then I guess it's appropriate at this particular time to take an objective look at exactly what his record is. We'll do that when we come back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
There was a story out yesterday that I ran across that I just thought was kind of interesting. It was, we know what's happened on college campuses and their crackdown on free speech, particularly in the era of Donald Trump and the hysterics of the social justice warrior. The headline was, over 50% of college students afraid to disagree with peers and professors. A majority, 53%, also reported that they often, quote, felt intimidated, unquote, in sharing their ideas, opinions, or beliefs in class because they were different from those of the professors. And this story was, as I said, it was about, it was really kind of about this intolerance on college campuses that students are afraid to speak up. But I got to tell you, I think that statistic is probably even higher for adults. So we don't want to disappoint the tribe. Now, I think we should look at things objectively. That is heresy to a lot of people, but it's really the only way I know to do this. Now, what's interesting about what we're seeing in politics right now, I'm going to play a quick clip here. I'm not even going to play the whole thing. You get the point very quickly. I understand why people are Trump loyalists for one particular reason. Now, we're going to talk about his record today and just kind of look at it objectively and see what we think. But the problem is the relentless attacks, largely unfounded by the left. There are things they could legitimately have issues with Donald Trump, but they've ignored those, and instead they've just gone for these hysterics. And so when the guy that you voted for, number one, the media calls you a racist, calls you a deplorable, calls you stupid and ignorant and just every other name, so that immediately puts up walls, and you want to fight back against that. And then they do this kind of thing to Donald Trump. This is just a great compilation. It's over 2 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but this is just a compilation of the media, and they think they're just about to take down Trump.
In on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it. Over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
There's a beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with...
So you get the point. This thing goes on for 2 minutes. Genius piece put together, whoever took the time to do that. But so I get the defensiveness of the tribe. I really do. And there was some of this, I'm sure exhibited on the Democratic side when we went after Bill Clinton. But let's take a look at... let's take a look at a few things here and just try to figure out if Trump has delivered what he's done for the left, for the right, for moderates, for the country in general, for America first. I kind of broke this down into categories. I'm going to see if I can get through this in some coherent way. Now, one of the first campaign promises, and this is one of these things, like I say, stories kind of trigger the way I take this show a little differently than others. I didn't spend a whole lot of time covering every player in the Mueller drama, and I talked about Stroke some, but, you know, there's plenty of shows that do that better than I could do it, to be honest with you. And a lot of that stuff is distraction. It's, you know, you're led from one story to another. But some of the campaign promises of Donald Trump, one of them, what was his main thing probably, and we're experiencing it right now with the caravan. The caravan has brought the immigration issue to the front. I think the Democrats have made a huge mistake, whether this is Soros funded or somebody else. I think they've made a huge mistake in this particular approach. I think it's going to turn off a lot of middle America just mass armies of migrants coming this way is not a good thing. Even if you're for and sympathetic to the plight of immigrants, this is not the way to do it. But the question is, Donald Trump's been in office for 2 years, and one of his big things was, now we've not built the wall, and I know they're scapegoating on that Congress will not approve the wall, so I guess that's kind of left out there. We don't really know. And then I run across this story yesterday. The U.S. tied its all-time record for new immigration. Both legal and illegal in 2016, with 1.75 million arrivals, according to a new study on Wednesday. This is from the Washington Times, a conservative newspaper. The Center for Immigration Studies, which is releasing the report, says the increase is part of a post-Great Recession rebound that's quickly changing the demographics of the United States. The surge was driven chiefly by Latin America, which saw its numbers double from about 335,000 in 2011 to 668,000 in 2016, pushing it past Asia as the top sending region. So we have just had a record year. Now, this is for a candidate that campaigned on largely on immigration. Does Trump have any skin in that game? Does he bear any responsibility for that? Has he delivered on immigration? You know, the thing is that's difficult about the immigration issue is it's almost impossible to figure out really where we are. We don't know how many illegal immigrants are in this country. We don't know how many are coming across porous borders every single day. We don't know. There will be really weird headlines that say record numbers apprehended on the border. Does that mean that we're apprehending that the same numbers coming across, but we're apprehending more of them? Or does it mean that more are actually coming, and just by virtue of apprehending the same percentage, it's more? We also don't have any clear idea on what ICE is doing with these. Is it still catch and release? Is he sending them back? Now, everybody on each side has their narrative because somebody's told them this, but the truth is, do any of us really know what's going on with immigration? Again, last year was a record, or tied a record, for immigration in the United States. This is for a president that campaigned largely on immigration. Build the wall, as I said, that's something that can be debated because there does need to be some funding for that. It is kind of interesting to me that military budget went through absolutely through the roof, and somehow the Defense Department is actually not about defending the country. Now, there was another one I wanted to get to. Another big talking point of the Trump administration was drain the swamp. This was a huge one for me personally. Now, what's happened since Donald Trump come in, some of the worst of the Obama administration are gone. You're looking at Peter Strzok. We're looking at Eric Holder. There was a nefarious group. Now, here's the trap that I see a lot of conservatives fall into, and I get emails about this all the time. These Obama holdovers. Obama had this, Obama had that, most people not realizing that that group, the cabal behind the scenes, what we now can openly refer to without sounding crazy as the deep state in the United States, a lot of those that were in the Obama administration were also Bush holdovers. Some of the names changed, but the structure of that part of the hidden government that stays from administration to administration is why there's so really little difference between the two parties in the results that we get, because that structure is littered with the same people. They don't have the same infighting over Republican versus Democrat that we have. They are there to accomplish certain things for special interest groups that are at direct odds with what the American people want, and they always win. So don't get trapped into this Obama holdover stuff that all the problems are with any Obama holdovers, because Bush had holdovers into Obama. If you notice, Obama's policies were very similar to George Bush's. Obama did not arrest a single banker, did he? But some of the same people from the Bush administration are actually back now. So when you talk about draining the swamp, and I'm going to get to one site I stumbled into when I was researching for this, John Holton actually led the charge for the Iraq War. A swamp creature if there ever was one. Campaigning Donald Trump said he was always against the Iraq War and was going to get us out of the Middle East. He hires as a national security advisor the architect of the Iraq War. Gina Haspel, he made as the head of the CIA. She's the first woman. Maybe he scored some points with somebody for appointing the first woman head of the CIA. Gina Haspel is a mentor. Her mentor was John Brennan, the horrible CIA director under Obama, an outspoken Trump critic. Gina Haspel was a direct disciple of John Brennan. The head of HHS, this is going to be an interesting story I'm sure I'll cover going forward, because Trump has talked about getting prescription drug prices down. That's something everybody is for. Now, as a libertarian, I tell you, I don't know bossing corporations around. I'll tell you better ways to reclaim your health than saving 10% on your pharmaceuticals, but I digress. The head of Health and Human Services is now the former head of Eli Lilly Drug Company. Do you have faith that he has turned his back on his lifelong profession with the pharmaceutical companies and is now just on the sides of the people holding the pharmaceutical companies accountable? Do you believe that? Well, sure, maybe he's had a change of heart. Where do you think he's going to go when he leaves the administration? He's going to go right back to the pharmaceutical company if history is any guide to any of those things. There, and I did a story the other day. There's a paid consultant on an advisory committee into the Trump administration right now making $430,000 a year of taxpayer dollars as a part-time advisor, while at the same time he is a registered lobbyist being paid, I can't remember them, it might have been $60,000 a month, his firm, lobbying for the Saudi Arabian government. I do not feel that the swamp has been drained. That was a big reason that I voted for him. I went to a site. This was really fascinating. I kind of encourage you to go check this out if you want to. I know most people will not. But there's Open Secrets. It's a nonpartisan, just kind of a government, really gets into the number site. And I went. I just did a quick internet search on DuckDuckGo. And I said, lobbyists in the Trump administration, just to see. And I got a little list. And I went into it, and I went about 10 or 12 down, and I thought, oh, man, there are some in there. But I thought it'd be a couple of dozen. Really, I expected to see maybe 5 or 6 prominent names featured in this particular thing. And then I realized, as I was scrolling down and got to around 20, I go, wow, this is more than I thought. And then I looked over to the left-hand column, and I realized, oh, I'm only on the B's. I don't know what this is. I did not count them up, but there are a couple hundred. And some of the people that are in the administration are people like defense assistant secretaries in the Department of Defense that came from Lockheed Martin. Some people with health and human services from the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah, here it is. The Department of Defense, the Secretary of the Army, came from Raytheon. Has Donald Trump drained the swamp? And is this just inevitability? I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, this is discouraging to me. This is the kind of real systemic structural change in Washington, D.C. I wanted to see. Now, I'm going to talk about some good things that Trump's done, too. I am not a hater. I'm not a lover. I'm someone who wants to hold him accountable. But to anybody who's for Trump, does it matter that I have got page after page of hundreds of lobbyists that are in the government now? And some of them, it's kind of funny, they highlight in this Open Secrets document, they highlight what their position is now. And so the middle column is like this Mark Esper. He's the Raytheon lobbyist who is now the Secretary of the Army. And what they do, so they highlight Department of Defense, Secretary of the Army. On some of them, the center column, which is the government position, is not highlighted, but the far right column is highlighted, meaning they've already gone back to, they've gone into the Trump administration as some kind of advisor or some kind of a cabinet position or something. They've already gone back to the corporation they came from. And what was really interesting to me, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it today, I might do it in another show, was many references in here to BGR Group. And when I saw several references to the BGR Group, I did a little bit of research on that because that's what I do because, yeah, I'm weird and I want to know the truth about this stuff. So I looked up BGR. You know what the B in BGR is? Barber. Haley Barber's lobbying firm. Department of State Deputy Assistant Secretary Charles Faulkner from the BGR Group. And there's several of those guys. Just a little interesting is to tie it to Mississippi that Haley Barber's lobbying group, and they lobby on behalf of the Saudi government, by the way, just an FYI if anybody cares what your good old boys from Mississippi are up to. You know, they're lobbying for the Saudi Arabian government. The swamp has not been drained. Maybe some changes. We've got a Goldman Sachs guy at the head of the Treasury. We've got the architect of the Iraq War, head of national security. Anyway, we're going to continue to go down this list. How about Lock Her Up? Where are we on that? Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I am not a Trump hater, nor a Trump lover. I voted for Donald Trump because I wanted him to do some things, and I was glad to see somebody from outside that nasty system we've had in Washington, D.C. for so long. What I would love to see happen is the American people to kind of break through either the blind hate or the blind love and start holding people accountable. You can't hold people accountable on really on either side of that. You obstruct if you just hate, and you really end up looking ridiculous. You look like you're flailing. You look hysterical. And if you blind love, then we don't hold anybody accountable. And I think this is where we fall down. If people could break out of the conditioning that you have to be on a side of this stuff and just demand the things that that need to be done for this country or undone for this country, we'd be much better off. Now, one of the first things Donald Trump did when he got in office that I was pumped up about was he got out of the TPP. Now, this thing was terrible. I'm not going to get into the legislation itself. I studied it a little bit at the time it was introduced and realized what a nightmare it was. Hillary Clinton was for it before she was against it, as they say. But she's a globalist, and this was a globalist trade agreement. And I think Donald Trump got us out of the TPP or said he was taking us out of the negotiations on it. We weren't going to sign it almost immediately, and that was just absolutely fantastic. He is now embarked on his trade wars with China, particularly with China and other countries that he does not think treat us fairly in trade. I think he's got some points there. It is yet to be seen whether or not that works. Right now, you are paying money out of your pocket every single month for increased cost on goods. I've got a story about that. I won't have time to get to it today. You're paying money out of your pocket right now. But if this pays off long term, it will be a good gamble. It could also blow up. The jury is out on that. I've said I think Donald Trump is good for the economy. I believe he wants his legacy to be the economy and jobs for everybody, whether you're black or white, rich or poor. He wants to see a prosperous America. I do believe that is in his heart. He seems very genuine about that to me. But I do not know if thousands of factories have moved back to the United States. I don't know. The statistics are so manipulated, it's very difficult to convince me with government statistics because I already know how they've changed them over the years and the games they play with them. So that doesn't impress me. I want to see the headlines. I want to read the stories where Mississippi has had, if there are thousands in the United States, certainly Mississippi has had dozens of new factories open. And I just don't know about that. I'm prepared to be educated on it, but I don't know if it's true. Now, this is what I wanted to get to just because I found this clip and it was just very interesting. It's illustrative of politics in general. And what can happen is you can fall in love with a candidate. And as I said, it's easy to fall in love with Donald Trump if you're a Trump supporter because you're so attacked for supporting him and he is so unfairly attacked that it kind of draws you together in the fight. It's almost like I can talk about my mama, but you can't talk about my mama. You talk about my mama, we got a problem. And that's what's kind of that's the Trump thing. But on the locker up, a lot of us kind of held some hope. And there are people saying that after the midterms, the hammer's coming down on these people. God love you. I hope you're right. I just want to see evidence before I get all excited about that. I thought there might be some accountability to this deep state, to other people, that we'd see some perp walks by now. It's been 2 years. Donald Trump led a lot of chants, and it wasn't really as much him. It was the people. But he entertained this and kind of made it a part of his campaign. And then after he got elected, after the election was over, before he was inaugurated, this is very soon after the campaign was over. I want you to listen to him on a campaign stump.
It was like all of a sudden with President Obama and Michelle and Bill and Hillary, and they were going to Michigan. No, it's okay. No, forget it. That plays great before the election. No, we don't care, right?
Now, I got to tell you, see what he says. Now, that's where he's a politician. Now, he's a businessman. He's an outsider, yes. But he's also a politician now. So that played great during the election, lock her up. But this was just days after he was elected where he said, we're not really worried about that. That was just a campaign thing. And the Clintons have soldiered on without any repercussions for the crimes that most of us certainly know have occurred. This was also equally, I was disturbed, and it didn't let me down too much because I kind of expect this stuff, but when he did a speech one day and people were chanting, drain the swamp, and he said, I didn't even like that term when somebody told that to me. I didn't want to use it, but they said, it sounds great, so I started using it, and y'all seemed to love it. Now, that to me, when he says that, it kind of came to me like, this was a marketing thing. It wasn't a deeply held belief. Now, I believe he knows Washington, D.C. is corrupt. We've already been through the drain the swamp section on this. It's not happening. The swamp is just as deep as it's ever been. And his administration has got plenty of swamp creatures, too. On health care, he repealed the individual mandate. He and, I guess, Republicans repealed the individual mandate, which was absolutely fantastic. I don't know how that was possibly ever constitutional to force an American, to fine an American for not buying a product from a for-profit company. I don't think it's ever happened. I could be wrong on that, but I don't know where. The government was actually penalizing you at the point of a gun. And always remember that if you didn't pay that penalty and the IRS came after you, they could put you into a cage for not paying a penalty for not buying a product from a private insurer. That does not seem constitutional to me. But Obamacare is still with us. Now, this is the fault not of Donald Trump. This is the fault of the Republican Congress. But again, this is one of those things that we expected. Again, and we're looking at this lens. If the midterm elections next Tuesday are a referendum on Donald Trump, can we take an objective look and see where what he wants to do? Now, he wants to lower prescription drug prices. That's great. That's great in theory that prescription drug prices are out of control. I don't like the idea that the government is going to mandate some kind of price controls. Free market would do this much better, but the pharmaceuticals are so tied into the government. Now, Republicans were very guilty of this Medicare Part D. Don't have time to get into it. I can do that another time. But he did a press conference the other day that I never got around to playing. There's just never enough time. Where the head of Eli Lilly, the former head of Eli Lilly, who is now the head of Health and Human Services, comes out and talks about lowering drug prices. And I thought, well, you know, come on. How stupid are we? I've got rebuilding the military on here, too. Trump did campaign, and he said things like, I am the most militaristic president you'll ever have. I did not like that. But he campaigned at the same time saying that he was dissatisfied and disenchanted with our adventures in the Middle East, and he would be getting us out of the Middle East to great applause from many people. He pointed out the $7 trillion we've spent in the Middle East. Troop levels now are higher than they were when he got into office. On the plus side, Donald Trump has not started any more wars. We are contributing to the war in Yemen, which is fairly new, but he has not started any new conflicts, although he seems to want to start one with Iran. I could do a whole show about that, but I will not. He supposedly talked Kim Jong-un off the ledge and made peace with North Korea. That is an incredibly, incredibly great achievement. But it's a little different than the headlines say. Trump didn't talk Kim Jong-un off the ledge. Kim Jong-un had been seeking peace with South Korea for years, all through the Obama administration, and they had essentially stopped him. This is the deep state that wants to foment that threat over there, whether it's to keep troops on the peninsula so that we're somewhere near China. You know, there's all kinds of geopolitical stuff in here. But Kim Jong-un was never crazy. He's a brutal dictator raised by another psychopath. But he was never just a crazy guy on a suicide mission to arbitrarily bomb the United States like we were told for years and years and years and years. But Trump did allow that to proceed to where there could be a peaceful resolution for that. Hopefully these maggots and warmongers that he's got in his administration do not scuttle that thing. We'll talk about tax cuts, and there's a couple other things I wanted to get to, too. One is, are we more respected now? This is another thing that's said constantly. America is finally respected again. And this actually is said in most administrations, but Trump has dug into this especially, and I wanted to cover that. We'll get into a little bit of financial stuff because I found a story yesterday, too. And again, this is objective stuff. I'm trying to do the good and the bad. I don't have time to cover it as thoroughly as I want to. But an objective look at the Trump administration would break apart the blind hate and the blind love. Conservatives shouldn't be happy with everything that's gone on in the Trump administration, and liberals should not be dissatisfied with everything. If we could break that mindset apart on either side, we might actually hold these people accountable for a change.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we're are back. Final segment here in the Mike Madison Show. Thanks so much for joining me today. Taking a look at Trump's record. If this is a referendum on Tuesday of the Trump administration, should conservatives, real conservatives, be completely happy with him? Should liberals be completely mad at him? I say no to both. A couple of things I wanted to cover to you. One is this idea that we're more respected now than ever. A lot of people believe that respect is power, that the world just respects power. Now, they do to a degree. We've got an incredible military. We use it too much. But we do. There is some level of respect that you have to have when you've got somebody that can overpower you should things really go sideways. But right now we've got a situation where Europe is actually looking for ways to trade with Iran. They want to keep doing it, but we're threatening to sanction them. We've allowed the Democrats to, I've got a story I won't even get to today, that the Russians are looking at putting a military base on Cuba again. Thanks, Democrats. You've actually stoked another Cold War. Now, at the same time, you can't let the Trump administration off the hook for that. John Bolton and Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley have made a hobby of going after Russia, and they're about to spark another, we're in another Cold War. They're about to put missiles off our coast again. Another Cuban missile crisis. Thanks to all you politicos up there. Nice job. But I don't know that we're more respected now just because we say we are. There's a lot of rumblings around the world, and I'm going to do it in some parts of the show, that it's just stuff that people don't know. They don't know that Europe is actually looking for other payment systems, undermining the U.S. dollar, to be able to trade with all these countries that we've thrown sanctions on. We got sanctions on Russia and Iran and North Korea and Syria and Iraq and Iran. And other countries just want to trade with them. Part of their economy is based on trading with these countries. They are actually undermining us, and they're going to go around us. Tax cuts. Donald Trump has gotten tax cuts through. Tax cuts are fantastic, but tax cuts and a growing government do not work. And we should all be ashamed of ourselves collectively that we are doing this to our children. We shouldn't be able to look our children in the eyes knowing what we're doing to them. Yet we just cheer the tax cuts and ignore the debt that's arrived from that. Now, this is surprising. I'm going to read this story that I found with a Republican president, a Republican Congress. This is the headline. This is the story that came out yesterday. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, former Goldman Sachs, is about to surpass Timothy Geithner's achievement of selling record amounts of notes and bonds as he seeks to finance America's soaring budget deficit. According to the latest quarterly refunding statement, the U.S. Treasury is about to sell a record amount of debt, surpassing levels seen both in the aftermath of the Great Depression and the Great Financial Crisis. Yes, that's right. We are setting a record. We are taking on more debt now than we did in the Great Financial Crisis. And this is at a time we are told we are in the best economy that the country has ever seen. Can that possibly be true? You do not need massive amounts of debt. Do you know that, and I don't have time to get into it, but I saw they've looked at the increased military spending. That's taxpayer dollars. That's picking money out of your pocket, sending it to the government, and then they take it and send it to the defense contractors who laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh at what we've allowed them to become. Just the increased defense spending that we're doing has goosed GDP, raised our GDP. Now, this is one of the things that we talk about with Donald Trump increasing. He says he's going to get a 4-5-6% GDP print. Just the increased defense spending has added 0.25% to GDP. That's just defense spending, just one little industry, but it's government spending. With the government taking on massive amounts of debt, they spend that money. That money goes into GDP calculations, so be careful what you wish for. You want a 4% GDP? They just may get there. The problem is it may be government spending that gets it there. That's counterproductive. It is not sustainable. And it's bad for our kids, our grandkids, and generations yet unborn. So we got tax cuts, a good thing, but a bigger government, a bad thing. And I have on here America First. And that's a bit of a slogan more than a campaign promise. I could say there are definitely both sides of that coin have shown themselves. I think there are things that we are doing, particularly things in the Middle East, that do not benefit the United States in any way, shape, or form. Yet it is sold to us as some kind of patriotic duty to support this stuff. There are also things done with our manufacturing base and Trump's attempts to start a resurgence in that. We don't know if that's going to work yet or not, but that is one of his intentions. So if that's America First, he's a success on that side of it. You know, again, I'll go back to that story where 53% of college students are afraid to speak their mind because they might disagree with their professors or with their peers. You know, this is the same with adults. I would say it's probably 75 to 80% of adults, if they're in a room full of people who believe the propaganda of one side or the other, they're afraid to say, you know what? Not everything you're saying is true. They're afraid to speak up. There's very little courage. It's much easier to keep your head down, stay in the tribe. The problem is, so many of the problems we can point to are a direct consequence of that. American people aren't holding anybody accountable because we fall in love. We still got that giddy feeling in our stomach where the people can do no wrong. We need to break free of that. That's for teenagers. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.